This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Wednesday, August 24th, 2022 edition of InvestTalk. I appreciate you all tuning in this hour, and hopefully I can give you some perspective and drive some good decision making. That's really the end goal each and every day on InvestTalk, and that is to give you the tools to make better investment decisions. And I know that can be difficult in times where there's a lot of data being thrown at you. You don't know what to consider. And it's our innate instinct to kind of simplify things down into one or two factors. And this is a multi-factor process. So, you know, we are entering a world where there is a lot more, it's a lot more about the facts on the ground as opposed to the narratives. And I'll get to that a little bit more on tomorrow's show, but I wanted to touch on that, on the fact that, you know, our world right now is driven so much by narratives, and that is shifting in a big, big way. And it's creating crises. And we're going to touch on that in our main focus point today in regards to how you should, you know, deal with the crises that we are experiencing throughout the world, especially the energy crisis. So that's our main focus point today. But ultimately, I want to know what is on your mind. So I'm ready to hear your questions at 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's head to our first listener question now.
Hello, InvestTalk. My name is Enrique from Pacific Beach. I'm looking at IPI for a fertilizer play. Looking forward to your answer on the podcast. Love your show. Thank you.
All right, looking at Intrepid Potash, and they manufacture phosphates and fertilizer products, mainly sold here in the U.S., and they've been doing very well. I've talked about this before in regards to fertilizers and artificial fertilizers. About half of the world's food is grown with artificial fertilizers. So that means fertilizers that main input is methane, natural gas. And companies like Intrepid Potash, they're earning big profits, especially if you can produce them here cheaply in the U.S. with cheap natural gas and export them to the rest of the world, especially Asia. And that's what you're seeing right now. So that's the big reason why these companies are doing so well. And it's popped recently on natural gas prices in Europe continuing to hit new highs. But what's interesting is this is lagging behind some of the bigger players in the industry, the CF Industries, the Mosaics of the world, and they're doing much, much better. So, you know, is it good? Sure, but it is definitely not the best in this market. All right. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. And we're going to head to our first break. So this is InvestTalks. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've Learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
All right. Well, we have an action-packed show for you today. Our main focus point is in regards to looking at the big picture in energy options. And I have some other topics as well, including what's the trend in manufacturing in Asia? Well, hint, hint, Apple is moving away from China and not just to India, which they announced with the iPhone, but other products as well. So we're going to look at that. Also, the oil market. We're going to dig into why there are some data that says the recent pullback in oil is probably short-lived. And then lastly, the jobs market. What? How is that evolving? I know there's layoffs, but you know, if you get laid off, you get another job a week later. That doesn't really impact your spending habits or the economy as a whole. So, you know, we're going to look at that data as well. I also have some voice bank questions on Vanguard Total Stock, World Stock in ETF, as well as Centene Corp, CNC. So that's my planned show for today, but you can always interrupt it with your calls and your topics. So I encourage you to reach out at 888-99-CHART. So let's take a look at the market today. We had a modest up day. The markets really have pulled back over the past few days into some major support. And today, yesterday, we had a little bit of bounce. So modest up day overall. You had the dollar that was roughly flat. You had the 10-year that was up about 5 basis points. And you know, we have Jackson Hole coming up the day after tomorrow is when Chairman Powell is going to speak. And this is usually a point where the Fed pivots to some degree. Now, the question is, will their rhetoric of a slower pace of tightening be enough to keep this momentum in the market going? I've heard a lot of chatter about the bear market rally being done after the recent little sell-off here. Problem I have with that is that usually the market likes to hurt the most amount of people at any given time. And while in June there was a ton of people pessimistic, there were a lot of shorts, and this was a big short covering rally over the past couple of months, but we kind of got back to neutral in positioning. So not necessarily oversold, not necessarily overbought either. And typically the market likes to get offsides, gets speculators offsides before it makes that other move lower to fuel that downside. You know, there's not a lot of fuel where longs are, overcommitted. They just kind of got back to neutral. And so I expect a little more upside, and Friday could be that catalyst, but you never know. So just wanted to give you my perspective there. Now, that's my take, but ultimately I want to hear what is on your mind. So let's go ahead and play another voice bank question from a listener in Seattle. It came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Craig from Seattle. Got a question I'm hoping you can help me with. I'm building a shop on my property. It's going to be about $150,000, and I don't do debt, so I'm going to cash flow it. I should be able to cash flow about $100,000 of it just out of income and existing resources. The other 50 is going to need to come from some investments, and that was planned the whole time. My question is, I've got RSUs with a Fortune 100 company that'll be about $50,000-$55,000, and then I've also got about a $300,000 brokerage account. My thought is to cash out the RSUs because I've got another 110 unvested, and that continues to grow year after year. They vest over 5 years and pay out quarterly. And because it's already part of my AGI, when they vest. You know, I don't want to add to my AGI and pop into the next tax bracket. But I wonder if I'm missing anything, if it's better to take from the brokerage. Am I better off doing, because they're at a loss this year also, am I better off doing early shares that may have some gain or later shares that are definitely going to have some loss? Really just looking for your insight and to see if my thinking's right on the RSUs or if I'm missing something. Thanks so much. I love the podcast. Bye-bye.
All right. Great question. And typically selling out of your RSUs is a good diversification strategy because most people, of their net worth, the RSUs become a large portion of their net worth. And it sounds like you're still working for the company. So we'll continue to vest over time. So your stake is naturally going to vest and increase over time. So that's typically a good place to go. Now, taking money from your brokerage account, there's no tax consequences there, whereas the RSU, there are some tax consequences. So you want to really talk to your CPA about that tax consequences. Obviously, I don't have that information and what tax bracket you're in, and I'm also not a CPA either. But that's a conversation you want to have with your tax professional first, and then you can go and make that sale. Now, if you do, you probably want to also get long-term capital gains if you can. Any loss will be limited to how much you can write off each year. There's $3,000 per year that you can write off. But that's a question more for your CPA, knowing your full tax situation, how that will impact you this year as well as long-term. But when it comes to, is this a good idea to think about selling your RSUs to fund your project? Yes, I do think that's good because it'll probably help diversify your overall assets. So thanks for the call. Let's go to Sid in North Carolina looking at PBM. Actually, let me repeat that, Sid. What was that symbol?
Yes, it is P as in Peter, B as in David, M as in Mary, PDM.
PDM, got it. Okay, so Piedmont Office Realty, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Thank you so much, first of all, taking my call and spreading this wonderful, wonderful knowledge for the people like me.
Appreciate
learning
it.
So much, and thank you for
No problem. So you're looking at Piedmont Office Realty.
I just recently got this one in my radar and yeah, looking to add. If you think technically and strategically this is a good, of course, I have an eye on the dividend as well. Do you think this is a good buy in this market?
Actually, I do not. This is mainly focused on office properties located in major American metropolitan areas. So these are the type of properties that are going to be in far less demand in the new post-pandemic world than they were before, because people are moving to cheaper areas and there's pushback to, you know, return to work, especially in those big cities. You're seeing it with Apple right now. Apple's trying to bring their workers back to work and they're having trouble, you know, getting them to. And the vast majority of this company's revenues come from those large metropolitan cities, Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Dallas, and Boston. And so I just don't see this as a great place to own, a great REIT to own. I don't want this area of the REIT market. Now you could have a long-term play and you think maybe those trends are going to reverse, but frankly, I don't. I think this is a longer term trend and earnings are expected to fall 30% this year and 9% next year to the lowest level since 2013, 14. So in nearly a decade. Next 6.8% dividend, that's fine. But if they're going to have trouble, you know, re-renting at the same rates, and that's what you're seeing in New York City, rates are coming way down. And the technicals on this company are horrible. You're just breaking to new 52-week lows. Let's see, did we close today? Yeah, the lowest closed today. 52-week low closed today. So, you know, I like that you're looking at REITs, but this is not the place you want to own right now is the office market. Thanks for the call. Yeah, this is, you know, I like REITs. REITs are some of the best vehicles for owning real estate. I actually think they're a lot better than owning physical real estate for many reasons, mainly because simplicity, diversity, and you can target, you know, particular classes of commercial property that are oftentimes difficult to buy and own individually, especially at large size, right? Because they're multi-million dollar properties. And so I tend to like them a lot, but I don't like the office market right now. So pass on Piedmont Office Realty. Now we're heading into a break. Steve and I are happy to play your recorded voice bank questions, but we love taking live calls as well. So remember, the number never changes and it never closes. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time and we'd love to hear from you. Invest. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
You've got a portfolio to grow and protect. So get your finance and investment questions together and call Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. They're ready with their unbiased answers. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point concerns the story, looking at the big picture in energy options. And I wanted to highlight this because it's becoming increasingly more obvious and important that our politicians globally, not just here in the U.S., are ignoring the multi-factor decision-making process that goes into our energy grid. And so many are solely focused on one factor, which is greenhouse gas emissions. But when it comes to deciding on the energy source, there are various criteria. One is affordability. Think coal, which is super cheap. Think security. So if you produce that domestically, that is usually pretty secure. You don't have to go buy it from somewhere else. And then environment. So the least impact on the environment. And if you can get cheap, secure, and environmentally friendly energy, that's kind of the holy grail. Fortunately, all energy has give and take in various degrees, okay? But legislators don't seem to understand that. Now, just like when you talk to a child, you can't, a kid wants to eat candy for dinner, right? But you have to explain you can't just eat candy, you can't just rely on taste, and that's the only input into your decision-making process of what you eat, right? It's health and balance, et cetera. Now, affordability is obviously very important for household businesses. You're seeing that in Germany right now, where there's a lot of industrial companies that are just shutting off production because it's too expensive. They can't make a profit. They can't be cost competitive when their main input cost, energy, electricity, becomes, you know, goes through the roof. And what happens is they look for alternatives. They go and produce elsewhere. They bring their production to a different country or a different region, and they take the jobs with them. And that creates a affordability crisis in that area as well, in that country, because guess what? Total income, total wealth within that region falls because jobs leave. Now, if the economy is entirely reliant on renewables, they typically will fail the security standard. Why? Because guess what? It's not always sunny. It's not always windy. And this happened last year in Europe. So before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, there was a 20% drop in wind-generated electricity in the European Union. And what did the European utilities have to do? They had to burn more natural gas and coal. Exact opposite of what everyone's trying to get to. Now, the security of energy also means protection from terrorist attacks and geopolitical concerns. And obviously, the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a good example of that geopolitical concern. And it's only one. That's one that reared its ugly head. But there are dozens throughout the world that can create instability when it comes to energy security. And then environment. When it comes to the environment, many are hyper-focused on climate change, but there are other ways to measure environmental impact as well. Air quality, as well as biodiversity. So what type of impact does it have on the surrounding region and wildlife? Renewables tend to generate lower amounts of greenhouse gases, but you have to have inputs to them. So cost of operating in terms of maintenance, price of replacement parts, the fuel consumption and insurance rates, all of this go into the total cost of ownership over the long term. And when you need rare earth minerals to produce these things, they require a lot of mining, with which obviously generates greenhouse gas. So that's something that most politicians don't really pay attention to. They just say, okay, what is the ongoing, once it is in place, once it's a steady state, you know, in operation, what type of greenhouse gas emissions does it create? And that typically is zero. And many experts want total solar power. You know, they see total solar power based economy would require deforestation of, if not almost all of the US. And so it just doesn't make sense. It's about diversity. And so that's what you're seeing right now. And it's why we're kind of stumbling towards an energy crisis. We already have one in Europe, and we're stumbling towards that worldwide because of myopic focus on just greenhouse gases and not the entire picture. Many parts of the environmental side, as well as affordability and security. And so this is vital in today's world, and why I expect inflation to remain relatively elevated, because, you know, it's going to stumble from one crisis to another, and with just this one myopic goal of greenhouse gas emissions. And that's why you're likely to continue to see energy prices stumble higher. Now, on the next Invest Talk, story behind this question: what is a wide moat stock, and should you want one? According to Morningstar, since the bear market low in June 16th, on balance, stocks with economic moats are doing better than those without a moat. So we'll get to that story tomorrow. But Nick from Los Angeles, you're going to be next, so hang on. And for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your question live at 888-99-CHART. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to, faster and for free. From years of experience, I can tell you this: searching for and then hiring the right candidate, someone who is a good fit for your business, is not an easy task. That's why you will appreciate the power of LinkedIn. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then, add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/invest. That's linkedin.com/invest to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the most rewarding things I do each weekday is host the Invest Talk podcast. I truly enjoy helping investors, and I know that every question counts and every answer I provide will be unbiased. You, the caller, get to chart the course for each Invest Talk podcast. Call with your questions anytime, day or night, 888-99-CHART.
Go to talk to Nick. He's in LA, wants to look at Digital Turbine, APPS. You own or looking to buy it?
Hi, Justin. Yeah, I own it. I started building a position after their May earnings. It fell down in the mid-teens, and I've built up about a 5-6% position in my portfolio, and also some calls for January 2024 at the $20 level. And so I was wondering what you thought about this as a cash flow cow, you know, in the future. And from what I understand is they essentially took advantage of a very high share price, artificially high share price, you know, crazy valuation in the winter and spring of 2021, and raised some debt, pretty cheap interest rates, of course, and purchased three companies. And they've radically changed their total addressable market and essentially our one-stop shop platform for OEMs and app advertisers to monetize smartphones by ads and targeting of app placement on devices. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty interesting business model, and I was thinking once they pay off the debt, once they pay off sort of the bill for the acquiring these companies, they basically are going to generate free cash flow endlessly, and the stock should shoot up. What do you think about that?
Well, they're already producing free cash flow, so that's the positive, and it is at a new all-time high right now of $125 million. Now, it's still about a $2 billion market cap and an enterprise value somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 billion. So when you look at that, it's not exactly cheap, trading about 17 times enterprise value to EBITDA, price to cash flow, about 17 times. So, I still think it's a bit expensive. I'm not familiar particularly with the acquisitions, but I'm just looking at the financial trends, and they are looking positive, but growth is certainly slowing. Revenues only grew 19% last quarter versus 168% in the same quarter last year. Earnings only up 12% versus 162% same quarter last year. So sharp, sharp, sharp deceleration. In fact, earnings are expected to fall 13% this year. But bounce back next year. My biggest problem, though, near term, is analysts continue to downgrade their expectations for earnings this year and next year. So could that continue to fall further? Absolutely. And to me, this is a name that is going to be more predicated on their cash flow, because I don't see a strong, I don't feel like the earnings picture is really giving a true sense of the overall business. I feel like cash flow looks more accurate. And then technically, it rallied up to the 100-day moving average, almost got there, and failed pretty quickly. And even in today's rally, it was flat. So I don't see this really getting much traction in the near term. Could it have a great earnings report and skyrocket higher? Sure. But it also could crater if it comes out with a tough earnings announcement, because it is trading at a high multiple still. Even though it's come down, it's still trading at a pretty healthy multiple. So, I don't love the risk versus reward here. I definitely don't like the technicals, and I don't think it's cheap yet. So I would be careful with it. I wouldn't get too all in quite here. 5% of your portfolio, that's not, too bad, but it's not something that I see as a big turnaround candidate in the short term. Thanks for the call. That was Digital Turbine, APPS. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have about 20 minutes left in the show, so get your calls in now. Let's pivot over to what Apple is doing. Now, there was news 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that Apple is moving a lot of their iPhone production to India, away from China. And there's even more news today that they're in talks to move their Apple Watch production as well as their MacBook production to Vietnam for the first time and continue to diversify away from China. And this is using their suppliers, Luxshare Precision Industries, as well as Foxconn. And they've already been producing iPads as well as AirPods already in Vietnam, so they have a little experience there. But this will be the first time they produce those Apple Watches and the MacBooks. And I think this is a big message here. The fact that the largest device maker in the world is shifting production out of China means, they're not doing that for no reason. That's a big endeavor. There's a lot of sunk costs when it comes to R&D and CapEx to produce in China, and it's going to cost more money and more R&D, and frankly, it's going to cost a bit more to produce in these other countries. But Apple has asked suppliers to set up test production lines in Vietnam for the notebook computer, and they're trying to make it as cost competitive as China, but they're just not going to be able to do that. So this is one example of another reason why inflation is likely to remain elevated for an extended period of time, because companies like China, or like China, like Apple, are going to put their manufacturing hubs into areas that are more geopolitically friendly. India, Vietnam, for example, that are more allies to the US. And that's going to cost some money in the near term. And it's going to cost probably more per unit. And they're going to pass that on to their consumers because they know they can get it. You know, the rumors are that the new iPhone is going to be $100 more expensive than the previous one. And frankly, this is, they started this in 2020. They started making the AirPods there in 2020. And that was under Trump because of the trade war, because of what was happening with tariffs. And that's only been exacerbated with the China's zero COVID policy, also their cost of energy. Remember, China is not very energy, or is not energy independent at all. They don't have a lot of energy outside of coal, which is just making their cities dirtier and dirtier. And that's why they're shifting to nuclear, because they need it and they want to produce their energy cleaner and more secure, to speak about our main focus point today. So other big manufacturers are doing this as well, or looking, Google, Dell, Amazon, they're all looking for production outside of China and especially Vietnam. So I wanted to highlight that because of that example, and how when I talk about regionalization entering a multipolar world, this is what it means. It means that supply chains are going to move back to closer to the U.S., closer to more allied countries that are more stable politically, and that means higher prices for you in all aspects of life. Now let's swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier from Texas.
Yeah, this is Josh in Texas. I have a question regarding stock CNC, or Centene Corporation. I've held this stock for quite a while. It's up about 30%. And just curious, with the current environment, if this is a stock that you would continue to hold, or if it's something that you would potentially sell or at least take some profits on. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Centene is a managed care organization, and they're focused on government-sponsored healthcare plans, Medicaid, Medicare. And they serve 22 million medical members as of September of last year, mainly Medicaid. It's about 68% of membership. Individual exchange is 10%, Medicare Advantage 6%. And so this is a company that continues to do well as seniors get older. Their baby boomers retire. They're entering into more Medicare, Medicaid plans as well. As the wealth gap gets wider, you have more haves and have-nots, and the have-nots obviously are on Medicaid. And so they're doing quite well. I don't see any reason, frankly, to sell it. The technicals are fine. Their business continues to go up. The biggest risk would be some maybe Medicare for all, but does that mean they're going to be part of a big government plan where Medicaid or Medicare Advantage is expanded to everybody? Right, where now you have a base level of medical care, Medicare, just like seniors do, and then you have supplemental on top of that, and that's likely the system that would probably be put in place eventually, and Centene would be probably well set up for that. I do think we eventually get there. Is that 2 years down the line or 2 decades? I don't know, but I have no reason to tell you to sell Centene, because they have consistent cash flow, consistent profitability, no dividend, but guess what? They're just continuing to invest in their business, and it continues to grow. And let's see, shares outstanding. Let's see if they're buying back shares. Yeah, they just started buying back shares recently. So I would hold off. I would keep Centene, CNC. Now let's play two in a row from 888-99 chart.
Hey, I'm thinking to add some international stocks to my portfolio, so I'm interested to buy this single ETF, VT, in my Roth IRA. So what do you think about this ETF, VT? Thank you so much.
All right, this is the Vanguard Total World Stock ETF, and if you're looking to add foreign exposure to your account, This will do that a little bit. About 40% of the portfolio here is in non-US stocks, but still 60% is US stocks. So when you see the world in the name of a fund, that typically means the US as well, okay? When you hear international, that's when you get usually fully international exposure, right? Non-US exposure. So this would incrementally get you there, but you'd also be adding a lot of domestic exposure as well. And then when it looks at the sector breakdown, technology is about 20%. That's better than the 25% that the S&P is today, but still, you know, that's a pretty hefty weight. Only 4.9% in energy. That's once again a little bit higher than the S&P as a whole, but still not nearly adequate enough. Should be probably three times that figure. So, you know, the sector breakdown looks slightly better than the S&P, but still not great. So is this a fine ETF? If you don't want to think about it and you don't want to really get strategic with it, sure. You know, you just kind of plow money into it consistently and do like a dollar cost averaging approach. Nothing wrong with that. But there's certainly better ways to allocate your capital and your account, especially if you're looking for foreign exposure. Look for an international ETF, not a world ETF. World ETFs are typically US as well as international. Thanks for the call. Now, I'll bet that a lot of people are amazed at how the investment environment has changed in the past year. And that means you got to be prepared to deal with the reality. Talked about that, a lot about that today. The reality of inflation, the reality of higher energy prices, a different world than we were pre-pandemic. We had that call about, you know, an office REIT and how that's changed. And so all of these shifting trends mean shifting dynamics within the market as well, sectors, types of companies, etc. So if you need help understanding whether you are well prepared for this current environment, I encourage you to reach out to myself or Steve Peasley at our company, KPP Financial, which is based in Irvine, California, just south of LA. Now, I'll remind you that here on Invest Talk and at KPP, we operate with the same philosophy, which is independent thinking and shared success. We implement unbiased guidance both on and off air, and we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free portfolio review assessment via telephone or GoToMeeting. Just head over to investtalk.com. or call our office at 800-557-5461. We'd love to help you in any way. Short conversation can go a long way. So the sooner you reach out, the sooner we can help get you optimized. Now let's grab a live call next from Dan in Georgia.
Hey, Justin, how are you doing?
Doing great, Dan. How are you?
Doing well. Listen, what we did was I'm in a variable. And investing into the S&P 500 index.
Okay.
And what we did was we pivoted from that, and they put me in three other funds. And one of those funds that they pivoted to was the Mainstay VP McKay High Yield Corporate Bond. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're in a variable annuity, sounds like, correct?
Correct. I'm stuck in this thing for another 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes remember those annuities, the surrender charges usually dwindle each year. So it might make sense as you get closer to, you know, it's usually 1% a year, usually a 10-year time frame. And each year that surrender charge drops 1%. Is that how this works?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. So I would think about it, especially if you get a good buying opportunity in the market to cash that out at before you wait for the full 5 years, because it might make sense, you know, to just bite the bullet, take a 2-4% hit. So that's number one, is try to strategically figure out how to get out of that sooner rather than later. Now the Mainstay McKay High Yield Bond ETF is a very average high yield bond fund. It's yields about 5%. Its effective duration is 3.6, so it's not long-term in maturity, so that's probably the best thing I can say about it. Its expense ratio is very, very high, so I would that's why you don't want to be in a variable annuity. A lot of people don't understand that there's fees within the annuity, and then there's high fees typically within those mutual funds that you get to invest in. So that's why they're terrible investment vehicles. So you know, this is an okay, probably slightly below average, high high-yield bond ETF. Fine right now. You know, it depends on what else the options are. Yeah, this is just kind of average. Thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here, is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do that right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk output is connected to listener input.
Appreciate the show. Appreciate all the knowledge. Thanks, guys.
In other words, InvestTalk answers are connected to caller questions.
We're looking to purchase a home next year once the housing market swings back a little bit in our favor.
Well, I'm not keen on investing money that's earmarked for a house to the stock market, because the stock market is so volatile.
And over time, for regular listeners, enriched market know-how is connected with InvestTalk guidance.
We don't take anybody's bearish or bullish or neutral rating as gospel. What we may look into, though, is why. What's their reasoning?
Since InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are fearless advocates for financial freedom, loyal listeners can strengthen their portfolio strategies and very possibly improve their investing success by their connection with InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
From miraculous things to everyday things, Scripps Health is here for you. Our primary care doctors and specialists put our patients at the center of everything we do. For more than 100 years, San Diegans have relied on Scripps for personalized healthcare. Because we're here for good. To learn more, call 1-800-SCRIPTS or visit scripps.org.
I want to break free.
Ready to break free? Make your dream vacation a reality with Norwegian Cruise Line and sail to the Caribbean, Europe, and more. With our leading health and safety program, you can cruise with the ultimate freedom and confidence. Book today and enjoy 30% off all cruises, free open bar, and much more. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Offer ends soon. Norwegian Cruise Line. Sail safe, feel free. Ships registry, the Bahamas and USA. Restrictions apply.
There's never been a better time than right now. Hear me out. If you want to make a change for the better, for a better job, a better future, to be part of something better, this is the time. We've taken our experience creating accredited programs designed from the job up and built them into a better university. University of Massachusetts Global. Find what you're looking for to better yourself in a visionary online environment with better student support ready to take you to a better level. Better enroll now at umassglobal.edu, formerly Brandman University.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Vince from Orlando. And got a question regarding 401 allocation. Previously on an episode, Steve had mentioned to have, when you're under 40, to have 25% for small cap growth or value, 25% for mid cap, 25% for large cap growth, and 25% in international. But my 401k features some retirement funds, like retirement for 2060, 2055, 2050. Just wondering, what do I do with those? Do I invest in those if those are my targeted retirement date? Appreciate the insight. Thanks.
Well, it depends on your philosophy. Now, I would say always lean on the value side, not the growth side. So you're talking about small and mid cap and large cap, especially in this market, lean on the value side. So don't be heavily invested on the growth side of the market. And then when it comes to your targeted funds, you could allocate a little bit to them, but it wouldn't be ideal. It's a good set it and forget it. If you never want to do any work and you don't want to think about it, it's fine. The problem with it is that it is mainly going to be invested in index funds. And obviously we've talked about how those are poorly set up for this inflationary world when you're overweight, really the wrong sectors, technology and healthcare. So I would not put a ton in those target dated funds. I would try to be a little bit more strategic, but also once again, it depends on type of work you want to do. But I like what you're talking about, the 25, 25, 25, 25, and splitting that between small, mid, large, and international, but lean on the value side. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on oil. I know we've talked a little bit, but I want to really look at the global energy markets. And, you know, prices have come down, especially if you look at Brent crude, what's in Europe. It was at $140 per barrel after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February. Now it's down below $100 per barrel as of today. But there's, you know, this has kind of quelled a lot of the worry about energy prices, and a lot of people were thinking we're going to get to $200-$300 per barrel, and we haven't gotten there yet. But there are many factors that have brought oil prices down. One is a strong dollar. Okay. Number two is the China zero COVID policy. Number three is the SPR release. Okay. And then number four would be recession fears. And all of that has been a drag on getting prices higher. Problem is that most of those are relatively short-lived and probably and we're not seeing a requisite supply response from those higher oil prices. And oil prices can fall for many reasons. One could be technological breakthroughs that reduce demand overall. So think of internal combustion engines becoming a lot more efficient. That is certainly a reduced demand for oil compared to what it otherwise would have been. Another could be a recession that can reduce demand for oil. But what's happening is supply is not robust, and there are things that are going to reverse by year end. One is the fact that, yeah, the economy is certainly slowing, but it's not slowing to a degree that it's going to reduce end demand. Only a deep recession will typically hit demand enough to push prices significantly down. Short recessions tend to cut oil demand only for a short time, and it bounces back relatively quickly. And then you have the fact that Europe and the UK are going to ban the insurance for vessels carrying Russian crude, which will basically drop all of Russian crude from the European region being shipped. And so that's going to be a big drag on new supply out of Russia, because that's been one factor is, hey, there hasn't really been a huge drop in Russian exports. They've just been exporting to different countries that maybe don't agree with our policies. Okay. And that's gonna change. And so over time, I still think oil prices continue to go up. You have the SPR release, which, you know, that's gonna end in November. And then what? What replaces that supply? And eventually, you know, we probably have to repurchase it at some point. So, you know, this pullback in energy or in oil is likely very short-lived. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which have crossed over the 44.5 million mark, thanks to you. And you can get your InvestTalk podcast anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.